This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
I want you to know that I now have a hardwire connection to the internet right into my computer. So if this doesn't work, it's not my fault.
Okay. I mean, it still is your fault, but like, if you want to say that out loud, just...
I mean, everything is my fault. Everything is my fault. But like this...
No, it's not. There are so many things that aren't your
like
fault.
What?
Ready? Mm-hmm. World War II. Not your fault.
I mean, I am Jewish.
Okay. Yeah, I got that connection as soon as the words were coming out of my mouth. Okay, let me start over.
See? See? Told ya.
Wait, I got it. I know something that is not your fault.
Okay.
Pegged jeans.
Interesting. And pegged jeans come up in this episode.
Yes, they do. Welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey. It was called foreshadowing.
Everything I know about podcasting and noting reality shows, I learned from Ellen Marie Marsh, literally.
Listen, you've gotten damn good, Daisy. I didn't know what you were good at before we started this, and now I know. Daisy, tell them a story or something, or do the intro. You can do the intro. Go ahead.
Oh, God, it's always so much pressure when you do this to me.
Shut the fuck up, Nick. No. Welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey.
I am, of course, Tony Award winner Daisy Egan, and across the screen from me is the lovely and talented and gorgeous and just the best, Ellen Marie Marsh. And we are covering Love is Blind 6, episode 4.
Do I go high up in... I don't know if this is like a mockery. Like, I can't tell. You're just that good at it. Like, are you mocking me? I can't tell.
No, last time I did the intro, you said I had to be more sing-songy.
Right.
So that's what I was doing.
Okay. You took the note then. That's great for you.
Listen, if you tell me to go bigger, you'll regret it.
When people tell me that in auditions, I always think to myself, okay, it's your funeral. Great. Have fun with this one. Have fun toning this shit down. We are in season 6. We are attempting to keep up with Netflix's schedule. I know you didn't go to college, Daisy, but this feels like finals week.
I went to 3 colleges, if you don't mind. I went to 3 whole colleges.
Did you graduate?
Yeah, when I was 29.
Okay. Did you have finals week then?
No.
I guess you said you didn't have a college experience. Is that what you told me?
Yeah, I left high school early, so I never had like a prom or any of that shit. And I think we had finals week my freshman year at Simon's Rock, and I literally think I was like drinking Robitussin. You know what I mean? And possibly doing meth. Like,
I'm so sorry you didn't have a prom and you got a Tony instead.
Yeah.
Daisy, what would be your adjective for what we're experiencing in season 6 of the Netflix classic Love is Blind?
Woof. An adjective. Is woof an adjective? Chaos.
Okay. But we're here and we're trying to keep up. So we are on season 6, episode 4, Hardest Decision of My Life.
Can I just say?
Always.
I'm trying to think of what the hardest decision of my life actually was. Do you know what yours was? I would say the first time I quit acting, that was a really hard decision to make. And this time around where I'm considering quitting again is also incredibly hard.
Mm-hmm.
The decision whether or not to keep Monty before he came out, that was pretty hard. The second one was not as hard.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot of hard decisions, but the hardest? I mean, I guess pulling the plug on getting divorced, but it was the best decision that I should have made years before. But those were the hardest words to say out loud, you know? But it was all the hard decisions were good decisions. But yeah, because I always say on I Think Not, the cheesiest quote that I always go back to, which is leap and the net will appear. And every time I've done that, it always happens the way it's supposed to. But yeah, there's so many.
The second time I was pregnant, I had a friend who said, babies are born with a loaf of bread under their arm. And I thought, that sounds really painful and potentially like a situation for an infection. So I'm going to go ahead and put the kibosh on this one.
Mm-hmm. Could you imagine if you had two kids?
No. The only thing that would be really great about it is that Monty would leave us the fuck alone.
Right.
He would have a younger sibling who was like exactly the right age gap.
Yeah. I know. Sometimes I feel bad. Last night when I was editing episode 3 and I went upstairs and Lola said, you were downstairs for so long. I said, I'm sorry, honey, I was editing. She said, you could have just come up here and edited and just like been with me, though. I was like, you're right. I totally could have.
Yeah, that's what Monty wants, too. Monty's always like, can you just come downstairs? Can you just do that on the couch?
They just want you to like be there. I know. Do you want to let's have another baby and just like do it together?
Okay. Okay.
That sounds so logical.
Listen, what is this? My Favorite Murder? Let's get into the fucking episode.
I love it. There's that famous tweet that's like 40 minutes in. Well, let's jump right in.
Yeah.
Mitch, you didn't jump in. We're in the women's quarters. Mackenzie, who we have seen, but has never uttered a single word. And I feel like Netflix was just going to try and sneak by and would think that we didn't notice that she's never uttered a word and just have her start talking as if she's a character that we have a relationship with. Mackenzie's just the one who stares at everyone from the couch.
Right. She's the glary lady.
Right.
Mackenzie comes out of the gate. We have never heard hide nor hair from this woman. Not a syllable has been uttered from her lips. And the first thing we hear is, we talked about like our bad habits. We don't know what man she's talking about.
No idea.
We talked about our bad habits. He said he picks his nose, but like, so does everybody, she says. And then she says he pees in the pool and the shower. And then Mackenzie says, I mean, me too. I pee in the pool and the shower.
Okay, the shower, I will give you. That is your property. You can piss on your fucking couch if you want to. I don't care.
Yeah, I pissed in your shower and your couch.
Yeah, I was going to talk to you about that, but I put some resolve on it and it's fine. You can piss in the ocean. That's fine because you're swimming around in fish poop anyway.
The ocean is God's bathroom.
If you pee in the pool, listen, I hate public pools because I call it skin soup. I don't want to swim in your skin, your open sores. I don't want to swim in your psoriasis or your pee or your cum crust. I don't want any of it.
Your dingleberries.
Your dingleberries. If you pee in the pool, you deserve crabs on your private parts. That's horrible. And AD says, I will never judge you. She's like, pee on your man. I don't care, but do not pee in a pool that I am swimming in. Amen.
Yep. She says that is a crime against humanity.
I always thought that there should be some kind of solution you could put in a pool where that if you peed, it would activate and be like magenta.
There was like a rumor. There was like an urban myth that was an actual thing, but it's not.
It should be. It's disgusting. And I can't believe those were the only words we have heard from Mackenzie. That's shady. That's some shady shit.
And I'd like to know who this man is that she's talking about so that all women everywhere can avoid him for the rest of time.
I think it's Jimmy because Jessica says, oh, I'm talking to him later. I'm going to talk to him about it.
Oh, okay.
So I figured it was Jimmy.
All right.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Well, Sarah Ann is having a painting party with Jeremiah. She says, well, I had a dream about you last night. I woke up. Whew. I said, we're not going to talk about that. Okay, then don't.
Then don't bring it up.
Why'd you bring it up?
Yeah.
She asks if he talks during sex.
That's not what she said.
Okay.
She said, do you have conversations?
No. At first she said, do you talk during sex? And he's like, you mean like, ooh, and she's like, no, I'm talking about like conversations. What? Like, did you pick up the milk?
He said it's a little weird for a man to be like, oh, yeah, oh, baby, which is a lie. I love dirty talk, but who cares?
Did you ever see the shampoo commercial parody on SNL in like the Will Ferrell era?
No.
So you remember like the Clairol, whatever the fuck ads where the women were like, oh, oh.
Yeah.
So they did the male version of that.
Uh-huh.
Like nobody would ever want to buy it because the men are like, oh, yeah.
That's hilarious. I need to watch that. But she's talking about conversations like, oh, yeah, I was thinking about bundling our insurance for home, car, and we could get a really good package if we change now. Interest rates are like conversations. Who is doing that? Are people doing that? Do people do that? And I'm not in the know.
I have never in my life. And he says he's never had sex with anyone who could talk during sex. And she's like, is that a flex? It's like, no, that's baseline sex.
Yeah. Who can have a conversation? Did you unplug the coffee maker before we left?
Did you schedule? I can't think of a male name that isn't saying here.
Glass. Did you schedule chair? Light.
Calendar. Microphone.
And then he says, well, there's a difference between having sex when you have a connection with someone. I will agree with that. And I was so scared, Daisy. I was so scared they were going to say it. They didn't, but I was scared. I felt anxious.
What?
I'm not going to say it. I thought, because they were saying having sex is so much better when you have a connection with someone.
Uh-huh.
I thought they were going to say,
oh, making
See, this is what happens when you talk about.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm good. They didn't say it, but I was worried.
Put your head between your legs. It was in this scene that I realized that Jeremiah looks like Elon Musk.
Okay, an uglier Elon Musk. Like, Elon Musk is uglier than him. Sure.
Yeah, it's like Elon Musk before Elon Musk got the hair plugs.
Sure, that makes sense.
You know.
And then she says, does crazy scare you? And he says, no, everyone has to have a little crazy to make it fun, which I think is a perfectly acceptable statement to make. I always say I'm crazy, but in the fun way. But Sarah explains what she actually means. And we already know that Sarah has a shit ton of internalized misogyny. And she says, no, that crazy, that sort of reassures that someone loves you. So not crazy. You're talking toxic. You're talking
like stalker.
I feel like you're talking about that like unpredictable, toxic, crazy.
Like you might come home and find them boiling a bunny in your kitchen.
Right. I think that's what she's talking about. And there are men who actually genuinely are attracted to women like that. They're usually a little more.
Oh, I think Jimmy would be attracted to a woman like that.
Yeah, they like a challenge. They want to be the one that tames that crazy woman. Honestly, I feel like it all comes down to like the damsel in distress trope. It appeals to that deep part of a man who have that need to protect. Like a woman who's in constant crisis, even if it's something little, like Jessica, who's always crying and always upset.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Whether or not the drama is blown out of proportion or not, she needs to be rescued. It's like a hero kink.
Right. She needs to be rescued, except she would not agree with that assessment of her. But most of these women, I think if you tried to assess them, they would not agree because they're all deluded.
They're so deluded. But Sarah's saying she's that crazy, unpredictable woman, because when someone tells you who they are, believe them. And she's saying, do you like that? And more insecure men usually love that for like the dopamine spike. And then they have hot, crazy sex, which is just actually their toxicity blending together. I could talk about this all day. But basically, Sarah is crazy. And she told us that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sarah's crazy. And she had it tattooed on her own forehead. She starts crying. She says he's the only person who's made her feel alive in this experiment. And then he basically responds by saying, like, yeah, I really want to fuck you. She, once again, she is not hearing what this man is saying.
Yeah, he says, I just want to have fun with you. I think Jeremy knows actually exactly who she is, because he talks about being sexually attracted to her and he hasn't seen her.
Right. He says there's sexual tension.
But his parts get all warm and blood filled thinking about this crazy woman, because there's that part of him that's attracted to that toxic female energy. But also, she's misogynistic. We already know that.
Yeah. To be fair, the sex after the weird toxic behavior is probably going to be like dirty as fuck. She's probably going to be like, spit on my asshole. Yeah. Like, put your fist up my bunghole. Like, I'm sure he wants that.
Right. I feel like this season, the women are on another planet. Like, most seasons, there are some pretty awesome women to cling on to. I feel like a lot of these women are in space.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I feel like they're laying it out and a lot of men are giving the Heisman. A lot of men are really cock blocking.
Yeah, there's a lot of cock blocking. I mean, speaking about being on another planet, I realized last time we recorded, you said that Laura looked like that woman who always plays the best friend. And I said I thought I knew exactly who you were talking about. And I looked her up and I sent a picture to you. And you were like, no, 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 it's this woman. Bitch, it was Catherine Hahn, American treasure. Mm-hmm. Catherine Hahn. First of all, she looks nothing like Catherine Hahn.
Really?
Nothing like Catherine Hahn.
Can someone do a side by side? Let's see. I think she does.
No. And also, Catherine Hahn played Agatha. Catherine Hahn played What's-Her-Face from Pretty Little Things, the lead role. She played What's-Her-Face from that other thing on
HBO.
What
are you, her agent? She's great. Played are you collecting Happy 10%? What?
I thought she meant, let me see. I don't even know the woman's name.
I know who you thought I meant. You thought I meant the girl from 13 going on 30. She's another famous best friend. Gina, I think her name is?
This one. No, Lucy Punch.
Yeah, you sent me that picture. No, not her. That's not who I was talking about. Judy Greer. Yes, that's who I was thinking about.
Anyway.
So it's the next morning and we're in the women's quarters. And Sarah Ann takes it upon herself to out loud in the kitchen in front of everyone say, I'm going to marry Jeremy. She says it loud enough for Laura to hear. And Laura's talking to AD and Alejandra. And Sarah Ann is full of piss and vinegar and confidence. And Laura's like, I don't know, maybe she is his number one. Maybe I'm the second choice.
Yeah, she's like, what's the holdup? So we see Laura and Jeremiah in a date. Laura is crying because that's what she does. She takes her shoes on and cries. She puts her shoes off and she cries. That's not worded right.
Well, he says, are you crying? She's like, no, I'm not. What makes you think I'm crying?
That's her blowing her nose. She said she usually gets stuck on the little things, and now she's made a pros and cons list, and she ran out of space on the pro side.
Does someone do their hair every morning? Do they get to go to dry bar? Not one person has had a bun on top of their head. Their hair always looks so good. I'm saying this out of envy. It takes me so long to do my hair.
No, I waited for you for about 3 hours while you were getting ready the other night. I know how long it takes you.
Daisy, I did not take 3 hours. You're being hyperbolic and dramatic.
Well, you did, though.
That's not true. That's not what happened. And also, I did an everything shower. You know that. I told you that.
Are your showers usually head, nut, butt, gut?
What?
Head, nut, butt, gut.
No, I mean, I did an everything shower. I exfoliated. I did a body polish. I shaved. I did all an everything shower.
Were you hoping that you and I were going to scissor? Is that why? Like, who did you do all that for?
What day was it?
That was Joey's birthday. Like, I understand you want to look nice for your friend, but like body polish? Like, that's like, I'm going to get fucked later.
Oh, I did the Korean scrub, which Barry, by the way, you left in the guest room shower. That was for you to take. I don't know, Daisy. I wanted to feel good about myself and feel clean. I washed my vagina. So
Jeremiah, he really likes her. He's falling for her. I just wish we could see the actual, like, substantive conversations between these people. I mean, I get it. We're at the point in the show where, like, they're going to start proposing. But, like, there's never... I mean, I guess it's sort of like what we were saying last time. Like, I just want to know, like, who you are. Not every minute of your day, but like, I just want to know, you know, mm-hmm. who you are as a person. And nobody really seems like, I haven't seen any real genuine moments.
Not at all. That's what I don't understand. I'm falling for you. How? It takes me months to even like anyone. I knew you for 7 years before I even liked you.
Yes, that is correct.
It takes me so long to warm up to people. I would be horrible on this show.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, yes, you would, because I think most people who are not crazy. Well, I'm pretty crazy. I'm not going to go down that road. So now Clay and AD are having a date. And they're talking about what a blast this has been.
Well, first of all, AD is in a white bustier. I don't know if that means anything. She's in jeans and a white bustier. I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, she's wearing like ripped acid wash jeans and a white bustier, which partway through the scene, I was like, does she think she's about to get proposed to? And then I was like, oh, okay. So they talk about what a blast this has been, what a journey it's been, which, yeah, it really hasn't seemed like a blast to me.
Not from an outside perspective, but okay.
Clay acknowledges that she's already been fixing him. She says, I shot myself in the mouth. In the mouth?
I think that was a mouthful. I think he meant I shot myself in the foot when I opened my big mouth.
Okay. Or I put my foot in my mouth.
Or I put my foot in my mouth. I think he did a malfor.
I have never heard malfor before, and that's, I love that so much. Thank you for that. See, every day. So then he reads her a Bible verse, because God.
Because why not? And at first glance, I think he's going to say something really interesting and profound, but then he says this.
The one thing I yearn for is to always be validated and for someone to truly like me for who I am and love me for the person that I am, and I don't trust that. Let me just talk about my external stuff. Let me lead with the physical and let me lead with my accolades. And you just kind of saw past my bullshit. You really did. And you still like was like, okay, I see something in him. Like, you believe.
I knew there was more.
You knew there was more.
I knew there was more.
And you believed in me, AD. And that, to me, that's the biggest thing, right?
Yeah.
I didn't think I would fall in love this way. And it's like, I did.
Did you hear how many times he says the words me and I?
Girl, it gets worse.
Listen, I know that we thought Cameron could be a lot sometimes, only because he is so in touch with his emotions and he is so there emotionally, and we're just not used to that. But Clay focuses on everything that AD does for him. He's only talking about what the experiment has done for him and what he is getting out of it.
And the difference between him and Cameron is that Cameron, every time he talks about Lauren, it's like, Lauren is so kind. Lauren is so beautiful. Lauren is so sweet. Lauren this, Lauren that. Whereas Clay is like,
she is good to me.
Mm-hmm. She makes me feel validated.
Yes, that it is. It's such a slight change in verbiage, but it's so important. It's like his reaction to when AD was talking about Matthew. Clay explodes and then he says, what does this have to do with me?
Right.
It always comes back to him. And on that, first I thought to myself, and Barry's here in the chat and she can weigh in as a therapist, but at first I thought that was sort of narcissistic and egotistical, just a very self-centered approach to it. But actually, when you think about it, I think it can also really signify a subconscious insecurity Like, he is so deeply insecure. Remember Jarrett and Ayana from season 2? How he was like, I absolutely will not stop clubbing. I will not stop going out. When she made it clear that she was going to school to try and settle down and have a quiet life.
I've sort of wiped this from my memory. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just so blatant.
I mean, Gigi did that too with Damien. She was, everything was like how I feel and how the things he makes me feel rather than what's great about him. So then he proposes. He says, I'm going to take a knee. And he says, will you rock out with your boy, Clay?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Will you rock out with your boy, Clay?
The thing that's so disappointing with this, it's really hard to see AD be so happy because I think she is so genuine. I think she is salt of the earth. And she told us to our faces, she goes for men like Clay. And someone like that, no matter how bad you think they are for you, she goes for fuckboys, athletes, ballers, men with money. No matter how much you know they're bad for you, men like Clay are AD's kryptonite. And a man like Clay, who is insecure but also narcissistic, over here in the corner weaponizing his single solitary tear that he was able to eke out of his eyeballs to get what he wants. And what he wants isn't AD, it's airtime.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. I would also say that all narcissists are deep down very insecure. Like, I think all of the bravado is just covering up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jay-Z once said a great thing about, he was on Fresh Air and Terry Gross was like, you grab your dick a lot. Like, what is that about? Like, you know, it's pretty gross. Like, you know, she's like the best interviewer that's ever lived. And he actually said, you know, that I think is actually a move of insecurity. He says, what I think that really comes from is we stand up on stage and we feel so exposed and vulnerable that we instinctively go to cover like our most private part. And I was like, I don't know if that's true, but that's a really great interpretation.
Wow. Great question. And also very great answer from Jay-Z. Good on you. You will always be the man who cheated on Beyonce, but okay.
Well, yeah. So then she says yes, and he goes, let's go, let's go. And now I've realized that all the men are saying that now when the women say yes. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Is it like, I don't know.
It's like a thing now. Remember I sent you that video of like teenagers today, and the teenager comes in and he's like, the mom's like, I need you to break those boxes down. And he's like, nah, mom, that's dog water, bro. That's dog water.
Yeah.
And then she's like, you have to go put the trash out. And he's like, ugh. And he throws it in and he gets it in. He's like, let's go. Monty does it all the time. It's like a thing now. But it feels like a weird thing to say after you've proposed. And I believe that he is the third person to say that so far this season.
Yeah, I hate that. But that makes so much sense. Let's go. Well, it's so casual. Remember the other guy was like, all right, bye. See you later. Like,
yeah. And then I noticed his necklaces. Did you see his necklaces?
I didn't notice.
He was wearing like 3 diamond necklaces. It was a lot. She says she loves him. Was that the first time that they've said it? Because I don't remember hearing that from them before.
I think you're probably right. Yeah.
And then he starts singing Clay and AD sitting in a tree, and she drops it like it's hot.
She hears a totally separate beat in her head, and she actually drops it.
She literally drops it. Like, she's like, he's like, Clay and AD sitting in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-S. That's like when I turned Everybody in the Club Getting Tipsy, I turned it into a children's song by going, Everybody in a club is a teapot. Everybody in the club is a teapot. Like, what are we all doing?
That's hilarious. That's so funny.
Thank you. I'm pretty funny.
You are funny.
Yeah, I'm pretty funny.
You really are. You have your moments.
Thanks, Ellen. I do. So now we're in the tunnel of love for Brittany and Kenneth. I really want to talk to Brittany about her makeup. I feel like if I notice that something's wrong with your makeup, then something is wrong, because I don't know shit from Shinola.
What did you notice?
Her nose is always red, and not like in a I'm sick kind of way, but in like a, to me, it's like somebody said to her, like, oh, if you swipe a little bit of blush across your nose, it looks a little sun-kissed. And she just took it too far, because to me, her nose always looks just like a red situation.
Okay. Too much blush on the nose.
Yeah. Yeah. She's very, very pretty, though. She really is very pretty. She tells us in confessional, I know that Kenneth identifies as a black male. And at first I was like, what? What in the Rachel Dolezal are you talking about? But then I was thinking about it and I was like, I guess that's an interesting way of saying it. Like,
okay. Answer me this question. Maybe I'm sitting in the corner with my subtext, just the two of us sitting hand in hand. But again, I want to listen to the words that they use. This is what Brittany says.
Being chosen by Ken has been a wonderful feeling. I have felt wanted and needed and heard. I really believe that God has put Ken on the other side of the pod for me.
But then Ken says,
I've chosen Brittany to be my wife, to be my best friend. I found my person. Brittany gives me so much security. She's utterly trustworthy. Everything that I said, my fiance must have, Brittany has.
Walk me through that, because I don't want to be like a sensitive Sally feminist and feel like that's a very patriarchal dynamic, because I'm sort of forcing a narrative because she already said she wanted to be submissive. And I know that some couples subscribe to that, but did you notice that? He chose me, I chose her. My first instinct is, no, you chose each other. It just was very blatantly, it was uncomfortable to me.
Yeah.
Yes, he chose you, but also you chose him.
Mm-hmm. 100%. But she wants to be submissive, you know?
Right.
It's not the way we would go about things.
Right. Excuse Which, me. I don't know. Maybe that's why I don't have a partner and I probably never will. Who can handle? I'm a lot. Who can handle all of this?
I'm your partner. Look at me. Well, look at me. I am your partner now.
I do. We'll talk off mic, but.
We'll see.
Tess said, dating someone interracially is always scary for me, so it definitely perked my ears up.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because she's like, I don't care. I don't see. This color of his skin doesn't matter to me, which I appreciate, but it is a little reductive. And I think, like, the way Cameron and Lauren dealt with the interracial thing was a lot more realistic and a lot more, like, head on. Like, look, it's not easy. And we live in the South, and yeah.
You have to talk about it. It's not easy, but it's not because of them.
No.
It's not because of them. It's because the rest of the world.
Right. So I think she meant intimately, like, for me, it doesn't matter. But and she's like, we'll just correct people. And I'm like, OK, I mean, good luck.
They're 24.
Yeah, they're little tiny babies.
They're very young.
Yeah.
You know, Lauren was 32 when she did the show.
Yeah.
They were just in a much better place. I totally agree. I think the conversations that they had, even with Papa Bill, who was really strict, he said, have you ever dated a black woman before? And he had. So it's very different. I think you're right. I think dismissing it as like, it'll all be fine. Who cares what your color your skin is? Yes, we don't. But there are some gross people in the world that you should be ready to have a conversation with them.
Right. And it's also just, it's very white privilege-y to be like, the color of your skin doesn't matter. Like, sure, that's how you walk through the world. But the person that you're about to get married to walks through the world in a very, very different way. So they meet and they both seem very pleased with each other. They do not kiss for a hot minute. And when they do, it's like a very respectful, like, mwah. And that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted her to just say, like, you're so handsome. Like, it took a while for that to come out. He says, like, wow, you look good. And she's like, you look good, too. But that's different than saying, like, you are gorgeous, you know?
Mm-hmm. She did, though. She did say it.
Yeah, she does eventually. And I can't believe I'm going to say this, but, like, they're bonding over God. Like, I just thought it was cute. I was like, these kids are going to, they're going to have a lovely, wholesome time, I think.
I think they are genuinely leading with love. I think they're just very young.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Brittany says, I'm ready to be a wife. And people don't agree with me. And that's fine. We all don't have to agree on everything. I just think you don't know who you are at 24. And I just want people to go travel if they can, live life, get drunk, fuck around, find out, and then come back. But everyone makes their choices. And they are very sweet. And they're happy and they're smiling. Brittany is beautiful. He thinks she's beautiful. And they give each other two little peckies.
And they, you know, I really do hope it works out for them. I feel very protective of them. I think they're very sweet together.
By the way, he says he thanks God that she's so beautiful. I'm like, no, thank skin and hair products. She's beautiful. She's put herself together. Thank a good nighttime routine, a good moisturizer. Daisy, tell them about our nighttime routine.
Oh, boy. It was the longest nighttime routine I have ever participated in. We washed our face 3 times. Mm-hmm. 3 times. We did a 3 times wash. We washed once, and then we toned, and then we used a microdermabrasion wash, and then we washed again, and then we put rose water micellar thing on.
Two separate things. We put micellar water and then the rose water to hold in the moisture.
And then Nivea. And I mean, you know, I look pretty good.
It was good.
It was a very long routine. And Ellen was like,
it was not long.
That was the truncated routine. And I was like, you know what? If this is what it takes to be beautiful, I'm okay looking like a troll. It's fine.
We're going to do it together on FaceTime now every night.
So I had a friend who was very religious, and her thing about her looks was like, it's not my place to say that I don't think I'm beautiful because this is what God made me. And I was like, wow, that's kind of great. You know, so now Trevor, I called him Trevor. Mullet and Chelsea are having a date. They have gifts for each other. She gives him a bracelet that matches hers. And when she touches a button on her bracelet, his vibrates so that he can always know she's thinking about him and vice versa, I guess. And then he gives her a dog collar and a rock.
Well, no, he gives her his dog's collar because his dog's name is Chelsea.
Okay. I mean, still.
And it's got Chelsea on the dog collar. I thought it was kinky and it's not.
Yeah. In England, there's lots of cows named Daisy. And like, nobody's ever given me a cowbell with Daisy etched into it. You know what I mean? Like,
shit. Lola, take that cowbell. The cowbell that I got for Daisy. Throw it away. Just throw it away. I don't. No, she's. It's fine. Go on.
What?
Nothing.
He has a rock that he says he got years ago that has etched into it, love is blind. And he's like,
no, it just says love.
Oh, it just says love. Sorry. And he's like, oh, my God. And here we are, because it's almost like Braille. If you touch it, you know it says love. So it's love is blind.
Okay. I never thought that the guy with the mullet who could crush a folding chair with one bare hand would be the least problematic dude on this show.
Who knew?
I totally thought he was going to be a meathead. Listen, that is a cheesy thing, the reading the love, but the actual sentimental gift giving is not something I have seen from a lot of men. And he was giving her three. Well, I thought that wrist thing was actually very cool.
Yeah, that was from her.
Yes, but the sentimentality of, look, Chelsea was in my life before, and then the rock and the Braille, the love is blind. Like, yes, it's cheesy, but at least he put some thought into it. And I didn't really have much of an opinion on Trevor, only I just didn't think he would sort of be my favorite guy on the show.
Who knew?
He is actually pretty dear.
Yeah, he is a surprise. So my feeling about Chelsea giving him that bracelet is I was like, girl, you don't even know yet what you're going to say. Like, you don't know if he's the one. So that feels like a very, very bold gift to give him. I just think that's an odd choice. He mentions The Notebook again. He really loves that movie.
Yeah, I did too. See, this is why I like Jeremy. No, what's his name? Trevor.
They talk about volunteering as a date. It's very sweet. He tells her again that he loves her. Again, she doesn't say it back.
And he says, you're an amazing person. And she says, ay, ay, ay. What does that mean? Anyway, okay. I'm very over Chelsea at this point. So we're with Jessica and Jimmy. So some people don't watch this show. They just listen for us being dummies and talking about the show. Jessica dresses every day like she's a bottle girl in Las Vegas. This is not an insult. I love a good J-Lo sexy dress. I love a nice short dress. She's always beautiful.
She looks like AI. She looks like AI. Like, if you took a picture of her, I would think that's an AI creation.
Yes. But I guess my point is, like, get comfy.
I feel that way about a lot of these women. Like, when Chelsea was putting her leather jacket back on, I was like, girl, who wants to wear a leather jacket? Like, put your sweatshirt on.
Yeah. AD wears jeans. She honestly looks like she's going to be making money off of her body, which is tremendous. Her body is tremendous. She just looks like she's going out for the night every time she's in the pods.
Yeah. And these are long fucking days. Like, I don't know how she keeps it together so much. I completely agree. So they also have some presents, or he has a present from her. He says there's sexual tension between them. He opens a present, and it's a letter she wrote her prospective husband years ago.
But it starts, "To my future husband." And his reaction is actually the most exciting part of the letter, because he says that's very sweet. You think of a word, bro. She just poured her fucking heart out. I'm going to go back and forth and up and down with this couple. So if I contradict myself, just know I'm contradicting myself, because I have a lot to say.
I am completely with you, because at one moment I'm like, oh, yeah, you go, girl. And then I'm like, what are you doing? This is where it goes off the rails hard. She pours her heart out to him, and he says he's happy and lucky that he gets to read it, but he doesn't know if he can tell her what she wants to hear at this point. And I said she needs to tell him right this minute that she often gets mistaken for, like, a young Catherine Zeta-Jones or an Elizabeth Hurley. Like, if she wants him to stay, she's going to have to pull out one of the most gorgeous brunette celebrities she can think of that might, in passing, if you squint, she could get confused with. She says, go and think, because I want you to be sure. Even if it's not me, I want you to be sure.
Which I feel very rational.
Yes.
Very appropriate things to say.
Totally.
Great. Good on you, Jessica.
Absolutely. Then he says, I really, really, really like you. And I love everything about you. He says, the way I feel about you is obvious. And she's like, what? And it's not obvious, bro, because it's not even obvious to you. So what are you saying?
Right. And she does want him to be sure. Obviously, mm-hmm. we know he's not saying what he's thinking. And that's the fact mm-hmm. that he has to consider Autumn in this scenario. And it's upsetting to hear, but it's very fair, because they are a package deal. But then she gives me emotional mm-hmm. whiplash, because she goes from, I want you to be mm-hmm. secure, I want you to be sure, I want you to be happy in your decisions, to, I can't believe you immediately don't feel the same way. I don't know if you're beating around the bush because it's someone else. And then she says, the most dichotomous statement, if you haven't noticed, I'm a big girl. Honestly, honey, you've cried more than when my mom watched Dances with Wolves. You know, how is he meant to interpret your big girlness? And I don't doubt you're a big girl. Jessica has lived a lot of life in 28 years. Her upbringing was tumultuous. She has a 10-year-old. And Jimmy is a goober. He is not my type. But I do appreciate that he's taking the word love very seriously, because he hasn't told Chelsea that he loves her. And he says he's not going to say it until he means it. So I was like, 1 point, Jimmy.
Yeah, 1 point, Jimmy. Although I think for me, when he said, like, oh, I have to think about Autumn and all of this, I thought that was just a fucking excuse. I think he's like, I have Megan Fox waiting for me.
Is it though?
I don't know. To me, it sort of felt like an excuse.
It's marriage to a kid he's never met and doesn't have a relationship with.
Yeah.
Yes, it might be an excuse. He's 27 years old, and he's saying by choosing that woman, he's choosing to step into a fatherly role. They're not dating. Listen, I am saying this from a single mom's perspective. Introducing your child who, if they get engaged, they will have not met yet. Who knows when they get to meet, on their wedding day or when they do the hometown visits or something? But he's already committed to marriage. So I get that uneasiness. Listen, that's not great to hear, because they're the same age. They've just grown up very differently. And I don't think it's an excuse, because he's a goober, right? He's an idiot. And if either one of them knew what he looked like, it would be a no-go. But I feel like he's considering two hearts at the same time. That's not an easy thing. That's not a small conversation.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And part of this, like, I'm a big girl conversation for her is that she's like, not me pouring my heart out to you and you being like, thanks for sharing, which I kind of get. But it's also like, well, like, I think he's being reasonable. He needs to think.
But then she catches him again because he says, how I feel about you goes without saying. And she snaps back. How do I know how you feel about me if you don't say it? One point, Jessica. Like, she has a point. Put it out there.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it doesn't go without saying. It goes with saying. You have to say it. Kurt was watching this. He sort of passes by and he goes, even with that face, she's way out of his league.
Oh, like, yeah, absolutely. She would never look twice at him, IRL.
No. So she basically is like, I'm too much woman for you. And he says he thinks he can handle it, but he's drawn to someone who lets him lead 100% of the time.
Yes.
And he says, but clearly that hasn't worked for me in the past. I wrote down, I actually came out liking her a little bit more after this interaction.
Same. I think in that statement, I realized what the problem is this season. I think other than Trevor, a lot of these men are very comfortable in the driver's seat. And no matter what anyone thinks about Jessica, because a lot of people think maybe she shouldn't have come on the show or whatever, she's been through some shit in her life.
Yeah.
And she's been in the driver's seat for most of her life. Say what you want about her, she is very strong. And, you know, it's like that Jerry Maguire quote, a real man wouldn't shoplift the pootie from a single mom. Single moms don't fuck around.
No. And I thought, like, if he had said that to Chelsea, if Chelsea had been the one, you know, giving him this letter and he's like, okay, but I have to think about it, she would have put on her shoes and burst into tears and run out of that room faster than you can say, rein it in, girl.
Mm-hmm.
So she did. She handled it. You know, I can appreciate that emotions get hot, but yeah, it's a lot.
I think someone like her physically would intimidate Jimmy in the real world. And I actually think her being direct and as strong, because she has been. She's been giggly and forthright. And she took a couple whatever times to explain about Autumn. But for the most part, she has been very direct and she's been very strong.
Yeah.
She is here to find a husband. She needs someone who accepts her daughter. And I think someone just a little bit more giggly and a little bit more basic like Chelsea is just more his style.
Well, he said in the beginning, he said, wow, you're very forthright. And she was like, forthright? I'm just talking. Like, what do you mean?
Right. But that's the thing. Any woman who just speaks in complete sentences, knows what she wants, doesn't just giggle, you know, a little bit more like Britney. I don't dislike Britney, but a person more like Britney would then make Jessica seem more direct. It's honestly like I've gotten that my whole life, that I'm intimidating.
Yeah, you have an overdeveloped sense of your market fuckability value. Absolutely.
Market fuckability value. I fucking love it.
So finally, Jessica gets up. I was like, why isn't she walking out? Finally, she grabs her banana and she gets out of there. She's going to have an angry banana in the women's quarters. So now we're in the men's quarters. The men are all cuddled up under their bankies. Jimmy comes in and Johnny looks at him with this expression to me that said like, oh, this fucking guy. Did you notice that? That he was kind of like, ugh.
Yeah.
Jessica tells the women that Jimmy is torn and that basically he better fucking nut up. She's telling the women, she's like, you don't even know how you feel? Like, give me a break. So back in the men's quarters, Kenneth asks Jimmy if he's okay. And Jimmy's like, that conversation went pretty much as badly as it ever could. Did you notice Christian Borle sitting in the background?
But kind of in a haze, like not really in focus.
Yeah, like he made like an angry, very sour cameo appearance in that chair, just like they photoshopped him in there.
Who is that guy?
I don't know.
I've never seen that guy in my life. No. Was that Drake?
I don't remember.
I really don't remember who that was. So Jimmy says this.
I didn't prepare too well for the conversation. Every time I've talked to her, it's been like really easy to talk to her. And she handled it the way I would have wanted her to handle it. She didn't give me an ultimatum, but she handled it the most mature way she possibly could.
One point, Jimmy, I keep going back and forth with these two from liking and hating them because they're both making very fair, accurate, and relevant statements. And I think Jimmy is actually considering this life, which is more complicated than the other choice. And it just is.
Kenneth is confused about Jimmy's waffling. Because, like, basically, it's like, God is going to work it out. Like, what's the problem? Man, I wish I believed in God.
God seems awesome.
Oh, how easy would that be to just be like, God's got it.
He does,
like,
so much. Man. God makes people hot.
Uh-huh.
God makes people fun.
God lets the men make all the decisions. So now Jimmy's in a date with Chelsea, which feels like, I mean, felt like he needed a breather, but he went right into a date with Chelsea. He says he's having a rough time, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, whatever, whatever. Can we talk about something light? And she's like, no, this is what we're doing, which, you know, fair.
And he's got a gift there to open. And I swear to God, I thought to myself, if Chelsea gives him the same gift she gives Trevor, I'm going to birth an actual hyena on my gorgeous pink couches.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
I will push a hyena through the thing where the babies go.
He tells her it's hard picking between her and Jess. And actually, Chelsea handled that way better than I would have expected her to. And she's like, yeah, I'm having the same issue, you know, with Treasure. Treasure with Trevor.
He is a treasure.
Yeah. He tells her he loves her and she falls. She literally falls on the floor. She thought he was about to kick her to the curb.
Now he's about to find out she doesn't look like Megan Fox. Anyway.
She said she was waiting for the person who decided to propose to her. I guess before she decided which one she was going to say yes to, which sort of highlights the fact that, like, Netflix kind of gets to decide in a lot of ways, which we'll come to a little bit later. But what was the gift? I don't even remember. Did he even open it?
I don't think he opened it. The thing is, so he says, I love you. She says she's going to throw up.
Please say something.
I'm about to throw up. I did not expect that.
When she said that thing about choosing whoever chooses her, it suddenly dawned on me that Chelsea isn't there for love or marriage. She's there for validation. Because remember, she was like crying a couple episodes ago about how awful men have been to her in the past. And it just seems like this is what she's been looking for. There's two men after her. One woman who is stunning wants that other guy. These people are all mismatched. We need to throw the keys back in the bowl. Everyone needs to pick again. We need to start over. This is a mess. This is all a mess. We need a do-over for everybody. You're all with the wrong people.
Yeah, well, maybe Trevor had a point when he said, like, let's put the cards on the table and shuffle them around until we, you know, find the right combination. She says he wants him to be 1,000% sure. He says he's 1,000% sure he loves her. So back in the women's quarters, Chelsea kind of walks in a mood. It's sort of like, you know, it's like Tornado Chelsea comes in. And Jessica tells Mackenzie that she and Jimmy are in a fight right now, but that from the looks of Chelsea, they obviously had a good date and it took long enough that, like, clearly she didn't just walk out. And then Chelsea whispers to Laura that Jimmy told her he loves her.
Which, we're not even there in the women's quarters, and it seems like an odd choice that Chelsea would choose Laura to say that to, because to me, Laura and Jessica seem like bestie boozicles.
I think it was just she had to say it, and Laura happened to be the person who was sitting there. You know what I mean?
That could be it.
I think it's like the fucking pressure was too much. So then Jessica's over with her camp and sort of processing what she's been through, and Laura comes over and sort of kneels down and says, I think you need to leave. She said, it is my mission to protect you at all costs, and I think you need to go right now on your own terms. And Jessica's like, why are you saying this? And Laura won't say. She's very cagey, but she's like, look, he's not your man. I promise you, he's not your man. It was weird. Like, I was like, well, why don't you just tell her? Just tell her what you just heard.
I went back and forth on this because at first, I understood that she was basically being a down bitch and saying, you take the power. You walk away. I don't want you to beg for this. It's not happening. He already told Chelsea he loved her. And I understand, obviously, I always understand looking out for your friend. But I do think it was a little dramatic being that vague. Because Laura does rub me the wrong way. And I can't put my finger on it. It's sort of how you feel about Johnny. But I felt like that was a little bit main character energy. Like she was trying to insert herself into a situation to create drama, because I actually understand the essence of what she was saying. But I feel like she should have taken her aside away from other people and said, listen, I know this is going to hurt to hear, but I would rather you go in with your heart prepared. Jimmy told Chelsea he loved her. I feel like you're better than this dude. He's probably some basic, mealy, mayonnaise-y man who looks like he took all the hair from the barber shop and pasted it on his head. Go get you a hot man that will take care of you and your daughter. You know what I mean? I feel like there was a more powerful way to do it, but I felt like the idea was there.
I think she did it for the drama, I think. Like, she did it for the drama of it all. But I said, like, how can she trust her if she won't just come out and tell her why?
I felt like that made it more dramatic. Just trust me. That's like holding the power. I know something you don't know. Just trust me. That's what felt gossipy about it. And not let me protect your heart. Because I like the protecting your heart part of it.
Yeah, but that's if you were doing it in private. Jess says, how did this happen to me? And it's because Jimmy thinks that he's got Megan Fox waiting for him.
And then I don't know if you noticed this, but she's crying. And Laura runs to the kitchen. It's a roll of paper towels. You can't tell me in this show where everyone cries, there's not some puff plus with some medicated lotion. So this woman doesn't chafe her fucking perfect manicured nose. Paper towels?
They probably ran out. Everyone's been crying. Jessica's been crying so much, she went through all of the goddamn tissues.
She's like, she needs the... throw the bounty away. Get her some Puffs Plus that is going to chafe her fucking face.
Yep.
That is the quicker, thicker, picker upper. Get her something that's not going to hurt so much. She brings the whole roll. Here, baby girl. I know. Cry it out. Don't rub too hard. You get impetigo. If you break the skin, that could get infected. Do you have Neosporin? She's got the paper towels. Like, it's so ridiculous.
Oh my God, it's so good. Jessica is undone. She cannot believe he did this to her. And I'm like, have you not watched this show? Have you not met a man before? Like, really? This is sort of what they do.
Yeah. Could you imagine? First of all, I actually don't get Jimmy. He does have a great voice. Oh, I have an idea. Next season, I think we should do this blindfolded.
Ooh.
Because Jimmy does have a very sweet and sexy voice. But what is fucking clicking these girls' beans that he is so...
You know what? They should do this show the way they do The Masked Singer. Like, not even let the audience see the people.
I think we should do it.
Let's do a show called Love is Blind and So is the Audience.
Yeah. Love is Blind and so are Daisy and Ellen and you guys too if you want to play. Let's get that on a marquee. Because if she were to see this man, again, a solid 5... There's no way. This woman is so beautiful, and I'm not saying looks are everything. She just wouldn't ever approach him in real life. I mean, I guess that's the whole point of the experiment.
Yeah, but when she sees, she's going to be like, I wasted a whole roll of Bounty paper towels on this man.
Yeah, and if you don't have a coupon, that shit adds up.
Word.
I mean, I would never... But.
So now we meet Clay and AD. They're preparing to go into the tunnel of love. He is wearing a bright yellow. I mean, this isn't what he wears into the tunnel, but in confessional, he's wearing a bright yellow shirt with a black leather vest. He looks like a crossing guard in reverse. It is the most hideous thing I've ever seen.
He looks like he's one of MC Hammer's backup dancers from the 90s.
Yes. You just think he'll stand up and he's wearing balloon parachute pants. That's New Kids on the Block.
No, that's New Kids. No, I was thinking of...
Nope, that's also New Kids.
No, I was... What song am I thinking
Hammer
of?
Time.
Can't Touch This.
Can't Touch This.
Can't Touch This.
So he tells us that, you know, AD fixed him. He loves her.
Yes, he talks about how much he's grown. I just want to say that kind of growth, that kind of personal development takes years.
Years.
We're all fucked up. We all are trying to band-aid our fucking childhood trauma. I get it. It doesn't happen 4 days on a reality show.
No. It sure doesn't. It sure doesn't. So now we see AD. Monty and I are both, we were not about that dress. We were both like, ugh, what is that dress? That dress is grayish.
It looks like it's Rainbow's best.
Yes, absolutely. And it has these long strings that all I could think was like, don't get on an escalator.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's not. I mean, it sure shows off the, you know, thick thighs, brown eyes, 5'5", but it's not a nice dress. She says she does not care what he looks like, except we know that she knows he's hot because he already told her that he's hot.
And then he says this.
It's the most beautiful thing of someone loving you and not seeing how I look like, because that definitely going to be a plus.
I want a shred of his confidence.
A shred. This man is caca poo poo. So the doors open and they both look pretty happy. And she's like, hey, there you are. And he goes, in the flesh, baby. Ew. Is that the first fucking thing he says to her?
It's so weird. And it just gets worse. They kiss. There's a million kissing noises. Trigger warning. So gross. He says, how does it feel for you to get to hold me and see me?
Ugh. He is disgusting. I wrote that down too. I said, how does it feel to get to hold me and see me? He needs to knock it off. And Monty goes, go to therapy.
How does it feel to get to, every time I see you from now on, that's how does it feel to see me?
Yeah. And I'm going to say, like, look at how lucky you are. Gaze upon this.
It is so strange. It's the weirdest behavior. I want an apology note from every man. Just for him.
Every single one.
It's like when you were little, if someone did something in your class, you all got punished. You all got recess taken away. Yes. And you'd be like, thanks a lot, Jonathan.
Yeah.
Well, you're all responsible. That's what's happening.
That is a collective problem. She stands up clearly to show him her butt because she knows he didn't see it. And she knows that she's got, you know, the badonkadonk. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the understatement of the year, but like, he is not humble enough. He needs to just be like, oh my God, you are gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
But he's incapable of saying that. He finally says I want to be close to you. And they both like that they're both dark skinned. And then he's sort of leaning on her like he's a little baby. She tells him he's handsome. I have to say that leaning on her like he was a bit little baby was actually a little surprising, because I was like, oh, look at you, like sort of being in a vulnerable, submissive position with her. But it's just the mommy thing.
It's the mommy thing. Because he said, I need to be babied sometimes. No, ma'am.
Ew.
No, ma'am. That is the reddest of flags.
Yeah.
That weird ingrained expectation that all women are maternal. Well, first of all, women need to stop dating those men. I hear way too many stories, and a lot of them end up being narcissistic men because they don't have emotional depth. Some of them are even violent. That mommy fetish, no, those men don't want a wife. Those men don't want a partner. They want a mother. And I am going to say right now, because I have withheld this judgment and we've kind of danced around it, I'm going to say right now, Clay is going to dismantle AD's self-respect and self-confidence like a fucking IKEA bookcase.
Aww.
I am saying it right now. That is the kind of man that wreaks havoc on a genuinely empathetic woman like AD. I am not looking forward to the end of this story. That is my prediction for this.
Jenny says she hopes she says no at the altar. Me too. Netflix should be ashamed of themselves. Like, they should pull her aside and be like, get out, please go away. Get out, get out, get out.
I know.
In confessional, he tells us that he is shocked at how beautiful and sexy she is. But he needs to tell her.
This is not great, Daisy. He is love bombing her. He's using her name a lot. Mm-mm. That's also a love bomb technique. AD, AD, AD. Mm-hmm. That is a technique. That is a power play technique in business as well. Listen for when people like do that and say your name. But here's the thing that upsets me, and it's not an AD thing. It is a woman thing. She knew. She knew her track record. She knew her bad habits. She knew her tendencies. She knew that her magnetic energy was drawn to men like this, and she did it anyway. And we've all done it. We've all fucking done it.
Yeah. So now we're in the men's quarters. The men are all sort of like, we thought Clay was a player when he first got in here, but I guess he's not. What? And then they say they're not so sure about Jimmy. So there's some dynamic between these guys that we haven't seen.
I agree.
Because I think Jimmy has rubbed off wrong on these dudes. Mullet says that sometimes he wants to throw Jimmy through a wall. I would have loved to have seen some of that.
No, literally. If you could throw him through a wall, that would be fun, right? All in favor. Trevor, throw him through the wall.
We'll give you another bagel platter if you do that. Mullet is very calm about the possibility of losing Chelsea, but he does think it's him. He's like, I'm pretty sure it's me, but he's like, it could happen. She could pick Jimmy. I'm like, wow, you are steady as a rock.
I do like how both of the men are very respectful towards each other. I think that shows a lot of character. Because we've seen men and women in the past both be shady to their, quote, competitor. And I think that's gross and unnecessary.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. And actually, later on, I said I think they should just marry each other. I think Jimmy and Mullet would make a great couple. I think they love each other a lot. So now we're with Jimmy and Jessica. So I guess she didn't leave.
They're both anxious. They're both nervous and upset. She's in another bottle service dress. She's got a lot of them. Listen, I love them.
She definitely is still shopping at Forever 21 or Fredericks of Hollywood or Francesca. Francesca.
Oh, yeah.
He says it's not fair. And she's like, to who?
I actually am kind of like on Jessica's side with that one.
Oh, is it so hard for you that you have to pick between two women who want to ride your tiny penis? No offense to people who have tiny penises.
Yeah, she's kind of holding him accountable. It's not fair. That's your lead off. And he said, it's hard to have a tough conversation. Number one, hard and tough are synonyms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's hard to have a hard conversation. Okay, great. And number two, I can't concentrate on anything you're saying with those pegged fucking jeans, sir.
Oh my God.
I can't take you seriously. I can't listen to anything. You better pray to whatever God you subscribe to that Jessica cannot and will not see the atrocity at the end of your peg legs that you are subjecting my eyeballs to. Stop.
I have to say, and again, if I am commenting on your fashion choices, something is wrong.
Yes.
But the men in general, like, I kind of want to send them all a note and be like, we're not doing skinny jeans anymore. Because there's also a picture of, I think it's him. It might be him. It might be Matthew. I can't remember now. That's like the skinniest jeans in the world and like a blazer and a thing. And I'm like, you look like one of those square lollipops that has like a worm in it. Like, why? What are you doing?
It's also like a vibe that can wear that look. And you're not it.
Not it.
That vibe is for a dude who's at a flea market in Williamsburg.
With a man bun. Absolutely. I don't understand why she's doing this to herself. I really wish she would just get the fuck up and walk away. He now is wearing peg jeans and he won't just fucking say it. He needs to just fucking say it.
And she says, you owe me directness.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
That's a fair statement.
And he says he was very optimistic. Oh, no, I wrote this down. Or maybe he did say he was optimistic about her. But then I wrote until Chelsea said she looked like Megan Fox.
Yeah.
He says, you're going to be an amazing wife for someone else. He says, no one ever wants to break up with anyone. Amen. Breaking up is horrible. You know, my first husband asked me to marry him and I said yes, because what was I supposed to do? Like, hurt his feelings?
It's like that speech from Sex and the City that you've never
heard
before. When a man that you love gets down on your knees with a ring, you say yes.
You're a very good impersonatorist. S.
I used to be on Broadway. So now Jessica's gonna give us some memorable moments of season 6.
You ruined this opportunity for me. You ruined it. And you should be ashamed of yourself for letting me feel that way, because you know, just like I do, for the right person, I'd never have to wonder if I was too much. But you knew that I was. And you let me pour my heart out to you more than once. I've made excuses for you, and I've told myself, oh, well, Jimmy just needs time, because I am a lot. And now we're out of time, and I'm leaving here alone. That was not supposed to happen. I've deserved so much more than what you've given me.
That speech is giving America Ferrara and Barbie. There's your fucking Emmy.
Ugh, I loved that fucking speech. Line by line, I agree and disagree with her. I could break it down line by line. Nobody can ruin an experience for you but yourself.
Yes.
You willingly got into a very precarious, odd, complicated experience where you were new.
Yes.
Because you had 5 seasons of research.
Mm-hmm.
How crazy it was going to be, how emotional it was going to be. Maybe there would be bagels. Maybe there weren't. You didn't know.
We didn't know. We don't know.
You can't put that on someone else.
No.
So I disagree with that. But I do think he led her on a little bit.
I agree. I think he did, for sure.
I think he knew a long time ago it wasn't her. Because we can see his body language and his facial expressions, and she can't.
Yeah. I mean, she picked up on it, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Did she connect with anyone else? I don't think she connected with anyone else, right?
Not that we saw.
Right. Well, who knows? Again, it could be a Netflix thing where they're like, hey, could you go ahead and we'd like you to just keep dating Jessica.
Listen, you are entitled to feel however you want in any situation, but you did know the premise of this show.
Right.
She also catches him in a little fiblet when he says, I wasn't going to make my mind up until today. And she's like, I know for a fact you told Chelsea you loved her yesterday.
Yeah. Oops.
And then she leaves with maybe one of the best fuck you speeches there's ever been. What do you think?
It's pretty great.
When you see and realize what you missed out on, you are going to choke. You are going to need your EpiPen to open up your airways, because you are going to be in disbelief of what you missed out on.
You're going to need an EpiPen.
EpiPen to open up your airways.
That was good. It was really good.
What a clapback.
Yeah.
Does he have a peanut allergy?
You're going to need an EpiPen.
That was fucking mic drop worthy.
Yeah.
What did you think about that whole interaction?
I feel like we've seen some version of this before on this show. You know, a woman who's like, why didn't you tell me earlier? I think you knew earlier. I agree. Like, I sort of go back and forth with her line by line. But she's way too good for him. I cannot wait for the moment where we get to see him seeing her for the first time.
Oh, that is going to be all hands on deck. There will be 27 cameras on them for that reveal. And I can't fucking wait.
He's going to shit his pants.
Could you imagine? Hey, you guys, we actually
paper towels.
He did shit his pants. No, he actually shit his pants. No, we need new pants and that Bounty. She used all that Bounty. Fuck. No, she used the Bounty when Jessica was fucking crying. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be good television. So now Chelsea tells us that she's 50-50, torn between Jimmy and Trevor. Brittany says that Jimmy should have been giving her the answer a long time ago. She's telling Chelsea, like, Jimmy should have said something to you a while ago. Like, what the fuck?
Trevor tells in his confessional that he is in love with Chelsea. Jimmy says in his confessional that he wants to propose to Chelsea. And we do this little back and forth, this sharks versus jets dance off. I was trying to think if we've ever gotten this far down to the wire with a couple, two men for one woman.
That's what I was thinking.
The Barnett, Jessica Amber thing ended a bit sooner.
There was some shot I remember of like a guy going into the pods and you weren't sure who he was going to be proposed, like who, but I don't know if that was season five or season one or this.
I mean, we know so much this season. It's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Jimmy and Trevor, again, they have nothing but respectful things to say about each other. And they're just going back and forth about their love for Chelsea and how much they want to be with her.
But this is what I mean when I say that, like, Netflix has a little too much power mm-hmm. in this situation, because I truly think that Chelsea would have said yes to whoever. I think she will say yes to whoever the first person is. And I think Netflix knows that. I feel like they are picking the one for her. They're like, let's have Jimmy go in, propose first, because that's who we want to film for the next 4 weeks.
You think?
I think so. I don't know that that's the case with everybody. Like, I know we have seen people turn people down.
Right.
But I think if Trevor asked first, I think she would have said yes. I think if Jimmy asked first, I think she'll say yes.
I think Chelsea has clearly a better connection with Trevor. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I do. And again, if she gave him that bracelet and then is like, nope, then that's pretty fucking shitty.
I feel like the only reason she would choose Jimmy is to feel chosen.
Yes.
It's a competition thing. She would have won against the pretty girl, the one that she knows always gets the man, the one that's more physically attractive.
It's more conventionally attractive based on what we're told is, you know.
Right. And so I feel like it sort of feeds her insecurities that she has honestly said she has. We all fucking do.
Right.
So I feel like it's a little bit more of a get choosing Jimmy than it is choosing Trevor. And at this point, I kind of love Trevor.
I agree.
All women are just going to guffaw over Trevor. He's going to be fine. His DMs are probably full right now.
Yeah. Yes. So that's where we leave this episode. Ellen, did you happen to see the TikTok of the woman who is like, my boyfriend is on Love is Blind this season. I'm not going to say who it was.
Yes.
And he told me he had to go away for work. And I'm like, bitch, shut the you are fucking lying. I'm sorry. He went away for work for a year and you couldn't talk to him. And then she just manages to slip in that he's like, that we all know it's Jimmy because of one of, like she says, Jessica or whatever.
I think it's all fake.
Me too.
I think it's the fakest.
Yeah.
Anyway, we love you. We need to scoot because we have to edit this episode to get it out to you. Daisy needs a nap. How are you feeling about this episode? I just want to get to the next one.
I know. I can't wait. I can't believe I've managed. I mean, I don't have time is the issue, but like I want to watch 5 and 6 so badly now. And I'm like, I have so much to fucking do. And all I want to do is watch the next 2 episodes.
Same. We'll get these out as fast as we can. We love you so much. Grab bag collab.
Thanks for, you know, bearing with my bad technology and our last minute announcements.
we're just trying to make it work.
Yeah.
Thanks backstage folks for keeping it real in the chat. We love you. I love you, Daisy Egan. Congrats on your Tony.
Thanks, Ellen. I love you. Congrats on your Grammy. Have a great west of the weekend.
Shut the fuck up.
You shut the fuck up.
You shut the fuck up.
No, you shut the fuck up. You shut the fuck up first.
Okay, I'll shut the fuck up. Let's shut the fuck up at the same time. Okay, ready?
Ready?
One, two, three.
Shut the fuck
up. You're supposed to say it.
No.
Bye.